CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. It is Monday morning. Monday. Lockdown Monday. Yes, we're all from our bunkers in the Armageddon setting of World War VII. Most of the world is already dead from the virus, and only a few of us survive.
Oh, no.
That escalated very quickly. That.
If you can hear us, you are one of the 5 out of every 100 people who have made it to Monday.
Not in space.
Oh, God. You know, I just like, it just feels like our whole lives are just so different. Oh, my God. Am I wrong, or is it just me?
No, it's a balls up.
It's such a balls up, right? I mean, like, it is such a fucking balls up. Oh, come on. Give me back my life before. I kind of liked it.
I might be shooting myself in the foot by saying this now when it's, what, technically the beginning of day 4.
Yeah.
But I've now kind of found my rhythm with things. You know, this morning, I actually woke up very early for the first time, and I went and I took a shower early. And I have a routine for the whole day. I actually have like things scheduled, and I have some, you know, actual sit down work time that I've provisioned.
Oh, good so, for you. Know,
I'm finding my rhythm.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, good for you.
I had a lot of household work to do over the weekend as well, so I scheduled that in. I think this is actually good for me.
All right, I got an article for you. Listen to this.
Okay.
Why you should ignore all that coronavirus-inspired productivity pressure.
Oh.
Yeah, this is from Aisha Ahmad in New York. Just listen to this. Among my academic colleagues and friends, I've observed a common response to the continuing COVID-19 virus. They're fighting valiantly for a sense of normalcy, hustling to move courses online, maintaining strict writing schedules, creating Montessori schools at their kitchen tables. They hope to buckle down for a short stint until things get back to normal. I wish everyone who pursues that path the very best of luck and health. Yet as someone who has experienced crises around the world, what I see behind this scramble for productivity is a perilous assumption. The answer to the question everyone is asking, when will this be over, is simple and obvious, yet terribly hard to accept. The answer is never.
Hi.
Global catastrophes change the world, and this pandemic is very much akin to a major war. Even if we continue and contain the COVID-19 virus, within a few months, the legacy of this pandemic will live with us for years, perhaps decades to come. It will change the way we move, build, learn, and connect. There is simply no way that our lives will resume as if this has never happened. And so, while it may feel good in the moment, it is foolish to dive into a frenzy of activity or obsess about your scholarly productivity right now. That is denial and delusion. The emotionally and spiritually sane response is to pretend, is to prepare, rather, to be forever changed. So, she goes through all the stages of what we're going through now, and she basically says, all this, like, super productivity, which I've been partly an advocate for, she says it's bullshit.
How do you think this is going to change us?
Well, she says the first thing is security. So she goes, the first few days and weeks in crisis are crucial. You should make ample room to allow for a mental adjustment. It is perfectly normal and appropriate to feel bad and lost during this initial transition. Consider it a good thing that you are not in denial and that you're allowing yourself to work through the anxiety. No sane person feels good during a global disaster, so be grateful for the discomfort of your sanity. At this stage, I would focus on food, family, friends, and maybe fitness. You will not become an Olympic athlete in 2 weeks, so don't put unrealistic expectations on your body. Next, ignore everyone who's posting productivity porn on social media right now. It is okay that you keep waking up at 3 a.m. It is okay that you've got to eat lunch and cannot do a Zoom yoga class. It is okay that you have not touched that revise and resubmit in 3 weeks. See? See?
Oh, it's making me feel so much better.
Stage number 2, she says, mental shift. Once you have secured yourself and your team, you will feel more stable, your mind and body will adjust, and you will crave challenges that are more demanding. Given time, your brain can and will reset to the new crisis conditions, and your ability to do higher work, high-level work, will resume. Okay, so give yourself a bit of time. Number three, embrace the new normal. On the other side of this shift, your wonderful, creative, resilient brain will be waiting for you. When your foundations are strong, build a weekly schedule that prioritizes the security of your home team, and then carve out time blocks for different categories of work. Teaching, administration, research, that's obviously if you're in academia. Do the easy tasks first and work your way to the heavy lifting stuff. Wake up early. The online yoga and CrossFit will be easier then. Things will start to feel more natural. The work will also make more sense, and you will be more comfortable about changing or undoing what is already in motion. New ideas will emerge that would not have come to mind had you stayed in denial. And then she finishes off by saying, in closing, I give thanks to people who hail from hard places, who know this feeling of disaster in their bones. In the past few days, we've laughed about our childhood wounds and have exulted in our tribulations. We've given thanks and tapped into the resilience of our old wartime wounds. Thank you for being warriors of the light and sharing your wisdom, both born of suffering. Calamity is a great teacher. How's that?
And for those of you who've just tuned in, where was that letter from?
From a woman called Aisha Ahmed. She is an academic in New York. And she says, don't be one of those people who falls for all this productivity porn, as she calls it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That really helps me. So is it confession time yet?
Go on.
Oh, the floor's yours.
Oh, okay.
You haven't put your bra on still over the past couple of days.
It's a much more serious confession, and I am indeed today wearing a bra.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
So we spoke last on Friday.
Yeah.
From 6 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
I was feeling good. All things were well. And after 8, at about 8:45, I started having the onset of what I now know is a panic attack.
Oh, no.
I do suffer from panic attacks, but very few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the last time I had one was when it was about 2 years ago when my grandfather passed away. It's even hard to talk about because talking about it simulates the symptoms again. So it feels like it's happening again. But it only lasted about 1 to 2 hours, and I just managed to keep everything calm. You know, people will often say to you, why did you have a panic attack? There doesn't always have to be a reason. Sometimes it can be during normal life and happen just when you're going to work and nothing's different.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously with our lives being so different at the moment, it was spurred on directly by fears of the situation that we currently live in. And I know that our duty in life, and specifically as we sit here and speak to many people who are listening to us, is to keep calm, keep everybody calm. But I think our duty is also to let people know that it's okay if you feel these things. I pulled myself together, and on Sunday, it hadn't helped. I had a full day of a panic attack. I was able to take some medication in the form of tranquilizers to assist me through that.
Yeah.
And I'm still feeling on the edge this morning, but I think the eeriness of the silence around me was the first to actually trigger it. So yep. Here I am this morning, happy to report that I'm feeling better, but I really believe that there must be people who are in the same situation, and I just need to let them know that I sympathize with them.
Shucks.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, I'm so glad you said that because I was on the phone to a friend of mine last night. Well, it was on House Party, that app that I told you about. He just called me, and I hate that app because it just switches on. You're sitting there. You're sitting there, and you're like, you're, I was playing a computer game, which is something I found to pass the time. And he just called me, so I said, "Well, what the hell are you just phoning me for? It's Sunday night at like 8 o'clock."
Does it instantly open up to video?
Yeah.
Or do you have to accept it like any other call?
No, it just instantly opens up. I mean, I was sitting there, and thank God my phone was right next to me, and I was wearing pants.
No, I was about to say, thank God you were dressed.
But I mean, really, it's just very upsetting. So he says to me, hey, so I go, well, what do you want? You called me at this time. There must be something going on. He said, look, out of all of our friends, who do you think is going to be the first to crack? And he wasn't being horrible. He was being, like, concerned. He was saying, who should we really be concerned about here? Because what Leanne is saying is not a once-off. It's not a random event. I think all over the world, there are millions of people who feel exactly the same way you feel right now.
Yeah. And there are people who actually feel worse. And, you know, when you do have panic attacks and you're prone to them and you do have mental illness, it can get to the point that you need to be hospitalized, that you need to be under some quite heavy medication. And I think that's what drives the panic even more, is that you know that you don't want to be near a hospital right now.
Yeah.
Factors that are just compounded and make it worse. And I really thought that I would be strong through this, because I actually like being alone, etc.
Yeah.
But yeah, but people need to know that it's okay if you're freaking out. And that's what I loved about that letter.
So pardon my ignorance, when you say it lasted, you know, like on Friday was just 2 hours as opposed to yesterday when was a full day.
Yeah.
What does it feel like? Is it a tightening of the chest? Do you feel disoriented?
It can be a number of symptoms. As I think the most severe is where you think you're having a heart attack and you truly believe that you are having a heart attack.
Yeah.
The first panic attack I ever had, I ran into an emergency room shouting, I'm having a heart attack. So it can be that severe.
It's not like you to be dramatic.
No, I'm generally really calm.
No, you are. Let me just shut this goddamn notification. Every time I get a message now, this thing's going to go bling. Just hold on one. Ugh, stupid WhatsApp.
So what I've experienced now is, because I know what it is, I can control it. But it's a tightening of the throat muscles. It can actually affect your voice. It's debilitating. You can't actually just do normal work. You're overcome with concentrating on your breathing and telling yourself that it's okay, you're still alive. That's very difficult to describe, and I'm sure each person's situation is different.
Oh my God, this sound is going to drive me crazy.
I hope you don't mean Leanne's voice after she's poured her heart out.
No, it's not you, Leanne. It's not you. Okay, I found it. Thank fuck, I found it. All right. No, I think that you're exactly right to admit this to everybody, because we always try to make this a fun, happy show, and people are just not feeling fun and happy. I'll tell you what happened to me over the weekend. Absolutely nothing, because I didn't leave my house. But but here's what I realized, is that I'm actually sick to death of these memes already. Like, I must have received the same goddamned videos 100 times, because I'm on so many groups and things. Then I get the same video over and over again. Eventually, even though those people are not around me, I'm finding myself irritated with them.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see people in Alex, you know, fighting with the Metro Police. I'm not that interested in seeing it the 20th time. The first time you see it, sure, and who knows whether they're sending it to you the first time or not. And the fake news, man, was there a lot of fake news bubbling around. Now, I'm not going to report my friends and have them arrested by the goddamn Gestapo just because they sent this meme around, which is no longer funny. But it's really annoying, right? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Like, enough of this.
You know, I'm only on 2 active WhatsApp groups in that way. And that's the one that I am on with family and one with friends.
Yeah.
And I haven't received as many annoying things that you're talking about.
But you're not as popular as I am, obviously. But
obviously I'm not.
Yeah, but Gareth, what you're saying now is that's why I just exit groups straight away. Like, if it's not work or family, I'm out. So when the boys start a group, no, you're annoying, whatever. I'm going to see whatever you're going to post anyway.
Yeah, but we know you have absolutely no EQ at all, so.
Yeah, that's also true. That doesn't help.
Yeah. Such a hardcore motherfucker. You're like the kind of guy who, on the team, when you get hit in the balls, you're like, no, I'm fine. Everything's fine. Go around behind the prefabs and you cry. That's you.
Well, yeah, that as well. But I mean, I've got enough reasons in life to complain. I'm not going to give myself more reasons to complain.
All right.
Actually, I can't imagine you crying, Bulelo.
No, and believe me, that is not mental health. That is not strength. That is someone who has not yet dealt with some issues. But we'll leave that for another day. I don't want to get into Mbulelo's mental health this morning. We got bigger fish to fry. Hey, guys, the latest symptom of coronavirus is that in 80% of patients, there was a reported loss of smell and taste before the onset of traditional symptoms. Yana, I read this. This is fascinating to me. Just stop what you're doing for a moment and think about just that. Oh, by the way, that was not my sound that came through there. That was someone else's. That ping. So I've muted mine. If everybody else can do that as well. Because remember, you're broadcasting from your laptop, basically. So imagine losing your sense of smell and taste. That is so weird.
Does happen with cold, though.
It's bad enough, though, that you can't be with people. You're stuck in your house. Now you must also lose your two of your five senses just abandon you in the middle of this thing.
Well, once you lose smell, you lose taste automatically.
Yeah, but that's so irritating. I mean, can't we at least have our senses? Stupid coronavirus! So sick.
What stage are you at?
I don't know.
Yeah, Gareth, I must tell you,
I'm in the anger stage, but then I'm usually in the anger stage about anything.
Oh, you are fluctuating.
Hey, guys, I usually listen to podcasts, but today I'm listening live from a small mining town in Western Australia. Glad to hear ass is okay. I wanted to know, so weekends count as actual days of the lockdown, or is today day two? Seeing as banks...
Okay. No, we better stop this nonsense, because I saw a couple of memes like this, and sorry to cut you off. I saw these memes already rolling about. They better not do that to us. Like, oh, no. Weekends aren't official days, so we need to... No. The president said up until April the 16th, okay?
Yes, he gave a date, so stop it. Exactly. Everybody's being ridiculous. But this is Adrian. He says he's always been a huge fan, and it's absolutely awesome that you guys still get to connect with us all over the world. Keep it up. Thank you, Adrian.
Yeah, very good.
Adrian said he's in Australia, right?
Yeah, in a small Western Australian mining town.
With peace and love, please don't give us anxiety here in South Africa, please.
All right. How about this? This is from Michelle. She says, Leanne, thank you for sharing. Panic disorder is so real. I've battled it for years. I could feel your fear of it coming back when you shared it. Mm. I'm fortunate now that I've found the right medication and other more holistic ways of dealing with it. Also, having a partner and a dog has helped. But thank you for getting vulnerable and sharing it. It really resonated with me.
Oh, I'm really glad to hear that. I have a dog, not a partner. My partner has now become my dog.
Mm. Oh.
We are using protection.
Are you two having full-on conversations now? Are you imagining your dog talking to you? Because I'm talking to my dog.
You know, I'm watching so many dog videos, and there are people who are able to give their dogs proper instructions, like, they'd be sitting on the bog and they've run out of loo paper and the dog fetches loo paper for them.
Yeah.
And I really admire that. So I think I might try and... Oh, hang on. My dog's Dave.
Oh. Oh, my goodness.
There goes that dream.
Gareth, you've also started to speak to Carl properly.
Well, I always used to speak to Carl, and then people think it's ridiculous. I just say things to him like, what a nice dog, you know, and then he kind of looks at me like, oh, fuck's sake, you really are stupid. I mean, he judges me all the time. I mean, your animals do.
But now I hope you aren't having full-fledged conversations, though.
Well, no, see, because he doesn't respond in language, so it's a little bit difficult to... Then I would have totally lost my mind. Look, I think that part of what we're doing on this show is just reminding people that there is some kind of new normal taking place, and it might be from different places, and it might be different things. And I don't want us to just talk about coronavirus every day either, because that would be boring as hell. But we're still the same people, and we're here for you. You know, we're here doing this, and we're going to make sure that we fill up your mornings with useful and interesting stuff to help get you through it. Sean says, morning all, feeling great today. I summited Everest last night and had sex. Yes, it was a dream, but I'll take it.
The Dalai Lama says, your belief is your reality, Sean.
I wonder if people are having different dreams at the moment. I know, you know, my mom suffered a stroke and has been in a wheelchair ever since. And she called me yesterday to say she had these vivid dreams of being able to walk, and how she could walk from my house to my brother's house across suburbs.
Oh, wow.
I think she also reminded me that she's been in inverted commas quarantine for 3 years, because she was in hospital for a year and has been at home for two, not being able to walk.
Wow.
So her reality feels completely different. She hasn't needed any adjustment to this period.
Yeah, I haven't had any weird dreams, but I have been sleeping pretty well. And I don't know if that's just because I'm at home and I can sleep whenever I want. And that is quite cool. You should actually try that. I would suggest, here's one thing you absolutely can do without feeling like you're being forced to be productive all day.
Mm-hmm.
Just sleep when you want. Like, that is a major benefit to being at home. And if your body's telling you, I'm tired, I'm going to have a nap now, have a 20-minute nap or whatever and then get back to work afterwards. You don't have to follow someone else's schedule now. You're not under the cosh. You don't have, like, management lurking over your shoulder. And you actually have a place where you can sleep. It's called your bed. So if you aren't an essential services worker who's going into the office and you feel like a siesta, have one. What the hell?
Has that not thrown you off, though?
Mm-mm.
Oh,
Sia, okay. I can see it, please. I can sleep anytime. My body, I think I'm permanently looking for a nap. Permanently.
So that's your predisposition.
You think that's funny, Mbulelo? I'm permanently looking for a nap. It's in my DNA.
Constantly on the nap prowl, are you?
Mm-hmm. Jeez, I remember, Gareth, during the 5FM days when you were traveling so much. Jeez. And DJing and you said that the biggest commodity ever to you was just sleep. You just wanted sleep.
Especially,
you didn't want prize money.
Especially in meetings with management. I was like, can I just have this hour to sleep? Because management, those meetings. Do you remember those meetings they would put us through? Good Lord, that was awful. That was just the most terrible thing.
Yeah.
And they'd yammer on because this is their moment to shine, right? Management, they had like 20 minutes with us once a month, and they thought this was, they can extend it to an hour and they could talk about all their dreams and hopes and ambitions for the show. I was like, if you people had any hopes and dreams and ambitions, you wouldn't be in radio management. So get out of the way. Just let me sleep.
I know it's lockdown times, but I think we must respect that we still live in South Africa. It's management.
Management.
Yeah.
Management.
And before we get into the news, Leanne, I don't know if you've read this book. A couple of years ago, believe it or not, I am interested in the human soul and how people feel.
You are?
Yes.
I read a book soul?
Yeah, wow. Okay, this is
No,
new.
We can get back to that.
We're making progress.
I read a book called Lost Connections for anybody who does struggle with the feeling of anxiety by a guy called Johan Hari. A podcast with Joe Rogan, which is quite cool. So you can check that out. Lost Connections is the name of the book. And it's got some very interesting practical solutions for dealing with everything right on the spectrum, starting at low level anxiety and exploring different ways to connect with people right up to depression. So,
wow.
That'll work for you. Lost Connections.
All right.
I've made an actual note.
Yeah.
And to me, it sounds like he's of the CBT background, which is cognitive behavioral therapy.
And yeah, and a little bit more. But have a look at Lost Connections, and we can maybe chat about it.
Look at this, the second Dr. Tinter, giving us some useful info. That's very good, Mbulelo. I'm going to check that out too.
Even though I don't have the anxiety yet, but you know, I might.
Yet?
Well, I might. We might all develop it, Sia. It might happen.
You,
yeah, it could.
Oh, I rebuke that. No.
All right. You want to hear some news headlines? Let's get into the stories that you need to know today. Johannesburg. Dun, dun, dun. The Department of Health on Sunday said South Africa has a very limited stock of flu vaccines. Now
these are the normal flu
vaccines.
This is
normal flu, yeah. It's not the coronavirus. It said the distribution of the vaccine would therefore be prioritized. The total number of confirmed coronavirus cases in the country now is at 1,187. 1,187. One death reported in the Western Cape. It did say, Mbulelo, you corrected some fake news there.
So
they said
this
there were two,
the,
right?
Yeah, so there was on the NICD page, so it wasn't just me making it up, on the Twitter page, they'd communicated that the one death was confirmed as a non-coronavirus-related death.
Yeah.
So it wasn't coronavirus. And then the other death, the individual had... It was a coronavirus-related death, but there was an underlying pulmonary issue already. We just needed to get that out there.
Okay. Well, because I saw them go to two, and then they came back to one, and I thought, oh, they killed that person before they could become coronavirus victim number two. Like in North Korea, where it keeps resetting to zero. You
know? Okay, I've just received this notification.
You've got to touch your ear when you do that and sound like a reporter in the field. You must go, I'm just getting confirmation that.
Incoming news as of now. just hold on. Is it now? Yes. Okay. So we are confirmed that we can go ahead with this information.
All right. Go ahead.
On day four of the nationwide lockdown.
Yes, that's today.
South Africans are waking up to the news of at least 93 more confirmed cases of the coronavirus, along with the confirmation of a second death.
Oh, Jesus.
So this is actually a 74-year-old man who passed away in ICU at a private hospital in KwaZulu-Natal.
Oh.
Just days after testing positive.
Oh.
He recently returned from the Kruger National Park and presented with flu-like symptoms. His test results confirmed he had the coronavirus. The results came out on Friday. National lockdown. Health records also showed he had skin cancer. So that is our second official death.
Damn.
In South Africa, within KwaZulu-Natal, which has 157 cases so far.
Well, I'd be curious to know if anybody actually went online and tried to buy anything online, Pick and Pay online or Woolworths or any of those things, because I tried that, and all the slots are full until April the 7th, so don't even try this online shopping stuff. It's not going to work.
Okay, that is just making me feel worse, because I have one frozen meal left.
Uh-oh.
And I was going to – I'm waiting for some money first, you know. I really do sympathize with these people who are saying, well, with the reason why we're not staying at home is because we just got paid.
Yeah.
Some of us didn't have the money to stockpile.
Yeah.
And we have to do it bit by bit. And I'm certainly in that bracket. I'm a single person who has a bond, etc. And I now need to – I've been planning to shop online. So that makes me a little bit concerned.
Well, you know what, Leanne, you can go to the shops. I've spoken to some – I didn't go to the shops over the weekend, but some of my friends did and my sister did. And they said it's easy. You go to your local store. You can go to your garage, or you can go to an actual supermarket or a shop in a little mall if you want to, and you can get everything you need there. It's not a problem. So don't worry about having to shop online and not being able to leave your house or any of that stuff. And if you're really paranoid, put on a mask and some gloves and just go and do it. Just get your basic essentials and head back home. No one's going to arrest you. You're not going to be chased out. There's going to be stock. Don't panic.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, so there's some useful info. But they've got this problem with the flu virus vaccine, and they want us to know that they're busy sorting it out. So the Department of Health says they're on top of that,
and they've got a plan to bring in more flu vaccine. Now, that's for the normal flu.
Yes.
Right. Now, okay. Apparently Social Services Minister Lindiwe Zulu said, remember you said Lindiwe Zulu was the Minister of Small Business Development. There's a different minister there now. She's in charge of social services. She's clarified the issues around joint custody arrangements. Zulu was part of a National Command Ministerial Council giving an update on regulations. She said parents with joint custody cannot ferry their children between houses during the national lockdown. Remember, we spoke to Pumi about this last week, too, because she and Kanekho's dad are separated and they are divorced. And Kanekho has to be with his dad some of the time and her some of the time. So they have shared custody, which is the case for a lot of kids in South Africa, I would think. And he has to stay with her. And I'm afraid you can see dad through Skype, and that's it at the moment. So that's what's happening with families that have shared custody, and that was confirmed by the minister. Movement of children between co-holders of parental responsibilities is prohibited. The child will remain in the custody of the parent with whom the child was when the lockdown went into effect. Imagine being a dad.
Sure, some people you have, yeah.
Imagine being a dad.
Some people really do have.
Yeah, who suddenly you've got your kid for like 2 days in the year, because that's the only 2 days. Then suddenly you've got the little fucker for the whole 21-day lockdown. Now you're like, so what is it you eat again?
Well, and then on the flip side, how do you explain to a three-year-old what's really happening and why you can't go and see your father or your mother?
You don't see it. You just beat them.
Hi.
Burn them with cigarettes.
So glad.
You can see why none of us are parents.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You can also tell which era Gareth and I grew up in.
Yeah, just beat the child.
Jeez.
All right. Khayelitsha has become the first township in the Western Cape to confirm a COVID-19 infection. The province is currently dealing with 310 coronavirus cases. So, first township case is in Khayelitsha. Not good news.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you guys very briefly what you think of what was going on in Alex over the weekend, because people in Alex were carrying on like it's totally normal. Everything's
Shane,
great.
You know, what really inspired me with that, or what I was really impressed with, is that, and I wish I had have taken proper note of the name of the group, but I think it's called Shut Down Alex or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's a community-driven group, and they've had T-shirts printed and everything. They're these black T-shirts with white writing on them.
Yeah.
And they're going around from shack to shack and literally preaching about what the coronavirus is and the dangers thereof. They're wearing masks. They're carrying sanitizer. And they're approaching these men, groups of men. Some of these are women alone. Yeah. They're approaching these groups of men who might be sitting there, you know, having a couple of beers, and shouting at them and saying, get into your house.
Ooh. All right.
This is really dangerous. Get into your house.
So,
it's amazing what they're doing.
I saw a news bulletin around that. And on the flip side, dealing with such a layered society with so much going on, I left watching that bulletin not knowing how to exactly feel, because they were showcasing that organization. And then they cut to commentary from people who live in Alex who were not obeying the regulations. And for example, were standing on the street or chilling on the corner. And some of the comments were around people saying, well, we know the rules, but we're disobeying them, because similar to how government hasn't been listening to our needs, so we aren't going to listen to government either. It was like, ooh, okay, we're touching something else here now.
Yeah, there's a lot to consider there, and just the fact that the buildings, there are brick buildings, but the buildings are not even an arm's space apart from one another. Mm. Never mind people being apart, you know, a space between each other. The situation there is really different and very difficult to deal with. And I don't know about you, but I always knew that once coronavirus hit these densely populated areas, that's when we would start seeing the real peak.
Well, we haven't yet, but Khayelitsha, the first case. We can pick this up a bit later on. There are lots of very interesting opinions floating around about what's going on in Alex in particular, because it is one of the more densely populated townships in the country.
So let's leave that alone for a moment, finish up with one or two more headlines, and then get to Anthea, who's standing by to give us the morning money shot. Apparently, minibus taxis will be allowed to operate from 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. next week. So this is interesting. From Monday the 30th of March, that's from today actually, until Friday, April the 3rd, buses and taxis will be permitted to operate in those times to cater for the transportation needs of society's most vulnerable. That's the Transport Minister's announcement on Sunday that this relaxation of the public transport directions during the 21-day coronavirus lockdown was to accommodate the beneficiaries of social grants. Obviously, it's the end of the month, so they've just flexed the rules slightly for people who need to go and collect social grants. And then finally, Donald Trump has extended federal social distancing guidelines until April the 30th. Now, he says, regardless of whether or not they unlock the economy by Easter, which is his plan, he reckons that people should keep social distancing going until at least the 30th of April.
I'm seriously worried about this man. He's all over the place. Honestly.
This man is the leader of the free world.
Someone was saying that there was a comment on Twitter someone sent me. Let me read this to you. It's hilarious. Well, it's hilarious, but it's also terrifying. Apparently, someone who's been on cocaine, this is what they had to say. Listen to this. This is
that was a bit left field.
No.
Where's the story going?
No, I'll explain. Hold on. I'm going to explain.
Did they hallucinate and see President Trump?
Yeah, pretty much. For God's sake, no, I can't find it. Anyway, this woman basically said, hey, guys, listen, as someone who was an addict for a long time, this guy is definitely on speed or on coke. And you can tell it by how erratic he is. And I'm not the first person to say this. A lot of people have observed this. And
I haven't heard of this thought about it.
He's definitely on speed, but he might also be on coke, and that's why he's so like intense and all over the place, and he's unfocused, and sounds like he's rambling, and it's all ego, and it's me 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 me. And some people are saying, well, that's a direct result of being on cocaine. So who knows?
That's why U.S. relations with Colombia have been so good recently.
All right. Let's get into the economy, shall we? Let's talk a little bit about the things that affect all of our pockets for a moment, because that is a big concern. And Anthea started off by saying to me that, Anthea, it hasn't just been the most insane week of your life. You said you've had good weeks and tough weeks and volatile weeks because asset managers work really hard at being pragmatic and level-headed. But you'll hardly ever hear Anthea saying it was a really emotional week, but that's the only way you can describe it, right?
Good morning, Gareth. Yes, it was bizarrely emotional. We had a call with Grant Patterson, the CEO of Edcom, and he was talking about what's happening with the company, and he actually burst into tears.
Yeah, Edcom.
And I think...
So sad.
And I think everyone's beginning to feel, you know, it's not just like Edgar's. Most of us grew up with Edgar's. We know Edgar's kind of very quintessentially South African shopping experience. And I do think that this is the end of it, I'm afraid. So turnover month is down 45%. And we already know that March and April are historically times for constrained liquidity for Edcon. You know, they just don't have cash during these 2 months. And as Grant said, the timing of the coronavirus could not have been worse for them. So they have just about enough money to pay salaries this month, nothing else, I'm afraid. So if you're a supplier to Edcon, and this is, I think, where he broke down, he said, like, there's nothing else I can do about it. This is it.
Yeah, I feel very bad for him, but Edcon will be the first of many, I suspect, to go through the same situation. You know, a lot of businesses, just like a lot of people in South Africa, really do live hand to mouth because they don't have an enormous amount of money in the bank, and they're hoping for sales to fill up the bank, and then they can pay for all their different suppliers and all their different clients and their staff, frankly. So it's a very sad and realistic and jarring thing for us to have to deal with so early into this crisis. And I mean, I understand why he was crying, because he feels responsible.
Indeed. And not many companies are reporting like year-end results or anything, but Mr. Price, and a couple of them are putting out statements, one of them, Mr. Price, And they're saying that annual salary increases for head office associates have been delayed until further notice. The executive management board of directors are all taking pay cuts. They're not taking fees for the board members. So I think people are banding together to do as much as they can, you know, but it's just basically a month of no revenue. As you say, for some companies that are living hand to mouth, is very difficult.
Well,
so in the market.
No. Well, it's not just that, because the other thing that we've been waiting for, like someone who's on the chopping block, and it hasn't come, and they've said to you, no, you can go back to your prison cell, come back out and kneel down next to this chopping block again next week, was Moody's, and the inevitable downgrade to junk status, right, which happened for people who weren't paying attention to the news.
Well, even if you were paying attention, you might have been asleep at the time Moody's released. I think it was after 11 on Friday night. I mean, typical South African midnight shuffle, right?
Oh, my God.
I know. What are they thinking? So, yeah, that's it. Moody's downgraded us. We're now officially junk status. Our entire work WhatsApp group are betting on how bad the rand is going to go today. I mean, currently, or where I last saw this morning, traded at 17.95 to the US dollar, to the euro 19.89, and to the pound 22.22. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's it. I mean, what else can I say? That we're junk status. Moody's really are focusing on the fact that we've got low economic growth. Our debt to GDP ratio is growing exponentially. In fact, they pointed out that if we carry on this trajectory, by 2023, our debt to GDP ratio will be at 91%. And I'm fairly certain that means going to the IMF for a bailout. A couple of weeks, well, not last week and the week before, we already saw bonds trading like I've never seen them trade before, so volatile. But the interesting thing about this is that you can now buy South African bonds, like over 10%, and I think it'll blow out further today. And there'll be a huge knee-jerk reaction. Things will be horrible today. It'll be blood in the streets. It really will be. But I think give it some time, and we'll recover eventually. And so I guess the question everyone is asking, like, is this the bottom?
Yeah, that's it. That's the question I want to know the answer to.
It's so hard to say. I don't think that we are going to see a V-shaped recovery. You know, we fell down and then sharply bounced back. Last week, by the way, we were up 13%. That's not bad. That's a great kind of start again. But to what happened on Friday night, I think that'll impact the market negatively. And I think other countries where they're not implementing things like lockdown and flattening the curve, as we all say now. Such a typical reason. We're all using that, flattening the curve.
Yeah. Non-scientific people telling me to. You know, the reason we're doing this is to flatten the curve.
Exactly. So I think countries that haven't managed to respond quickly or critically enough are still going to have a hard time. And so the bad news that is going to come out of there is probably going to see us take another couple of legs down in the stock market even. I think the market is very cheap at the moment. But again, I'm not sure what the catalyst is for this bounce, or where we go, how long we kind of trundle along the bottom. That's going to be the question. And the reserve banks, including ours, by the way, are doing everything they can to stabilize markets. But it's just not enough, you know.
Well, also, we've discussed this a number of times. The Reserve Bank doesn't have some magic switchboard in front of them where they can click up and click down a bunch of different switches and turn the economy around overnight. They have one lever, and that is interest rates, and they've already pulled that lever, and they can't really pull it too much more. Because otherwise we're going to end up in a situation where actually it has it bears no relation to where the money is, and it no longer has anything to do with inflation, right?
Well, here's a little surprise for you. Last week, for the first time in my memory, South African Reserve Bank implemented quantitative easing. So they didn't call it that in so many words, but basically that's what it is. They're not printing money, but they're effectively buying bonds to stabilize the market, which is interesting. And the question, of course, is how does this impact our debt and where we're going from here? So basically the Reserve Bank is acting, it's acting as a support for the market and saying, I know that some of you need to sell your bonds, and today we're going to see a lot of that. I think a lot of foreigners are going to go, oh, well, you've been downgraded. I now have to sell South African bonds. Who's going to be buying them? As a South African investor, I certainly am not sure I want to be buying just yet. I want to buy when it's cheaper.
Yeah.
And the Reserve Bank have come in and said, well, okay, we'll be buying some of those bonds. And instead of the bonds just plummeting, they're basically going to support the bottom. Which is what all the central banks did in 2009. Ours, we didn't have to. South Africa in 2009 was very resilient.
Mm.
But we'll see where this goes. You know, they haven't said anything about how much money they're going to put into the system, how long they're going to do it for. In fact, they're being kind of quite cagey about it. But at least they're trying to do what they can.
All right, so the most emotional week you've had on the stock market ever.
Yeah.
By far. And I was there watching. I was working in London in 2008, working at Morgan Stanley, and next to Morgan Stanley building was the Lehman's building. And I just was such a vivid image of the Lehman's employees carrying their boxes out of the buildings in their droves. And that was quite kind of heart-wrenching. But this last week, because I just, and maybe the lockdown had something to do with it. But I really, after watching Edcon and Mr. Price put out their statements, I can see how badly this coronavirus is going to impact the South African economy. I really think it's going to be dreadful for us now.
Well, people are also curious, what are your lockdown conditions? Who are you with? Are you amply supplied with loo paper? You know, the important questions, Anthea.
So I set up my stationary bicycle trainer yesterday. I'm on my own.
Yes.
Of course.
I've got my TheraBands out.
Good.
I'm looking to build a little something that keeps me stationary while I'm in the pool so that I can just swim and go nowhere.
Okay. So you're pretty much continuing your training as a triathlete.
Oh, I have to, yes. Otherwise I'll go mad. That was the one thing that I really struggled with. Oh, and I'm becoming # domestic goddess.
All right. Well done to you.
Up a storm and eating it. That's the problem, yeah, which is why I have to train.
Well, I suppose, you know, it's focusing on the little things right now. We've got to just, with this market, we've just got to ride out the storm, and it might be a long storm, but people like you and others that know more than I do are saying, just hang in there because it could get a little bit worse. But ultimately, you know, we're not extinguishing value on a permanent basis. We're riding out a massive, massive change and a huge disruption to everybody's lives. And once that's over, we'll be able to pick up the pieces. But we don't even know when over will be.
Exactly. I mean, if you look at the 2008, 2009 figures, you know, we bottomed in 2008 on the 31st of March. And then we were kind of, no, I lie, we bottomed in on the 28th of Feb, 2009. And then by the 31st of December, 2010, we were back to where we started in May, 2008. And that's how long 2008 took.
This is going to take a bit longer.
I suspect it might. You know, it's just because. So if you had been invested in the stock market in 2008, 2009, and if you just hung in there, you would have been fine because there were no companies that went bust and they kind of bounced back. But I think this time we are actually going to see a few listed companies fall out of the exchange. So you probably don't, you want to be picking companies that have very strong balance sheets. And if you don't know which those are, then you probably want to be in a fund that manages those for you.
Hmm.
But, you know, a lot of people will say, so should I be buying Sasol? Should I be buying the Foschini Group? Because kind of they're quite resilient and a strong balance sheet. But you just don't know. And the property stocks, those are interesting because the listed real estate assets, or REITs as we call them, they are yielding fantastically at 40%, but that's only if they pay out dividends.
Yeah,
and they may not.
Yeah, but also, there's no rush. Like, don't be in a hurry. Trust me, we've still got some way to go before we realize where the hell we're at. And there's no need to rush now and buy a bunch of shares because you think they're going to be super cheap. Rather, buy them as you start seeing the curve ticking up. I mean, you might lose a couple of rands and cents here and there, but there's no need to hurry.
Indeed, there's no need to hurry. But people will see last week's 13% bounce and go, "Ooh, that's the turnaround."
Yeah, well.
you don't know when the turnaround is. So kind of just slowly start trickling money into the market, I would say.
Okay, yeah. Let's play it carefully. There's no need to lose your life savings. Government will do that for you when they bail out Eskom.
Oh.
All right. Yeah. Okay, everybody. Thank you very much, Anthea. It's good to talk to you. And I'm glad that you're riding out the lockdown with your stationary bike and you've got those bands and you're swimming in the pool and you're keeping fit. Good. We all need to do that. Thank you.
Stay healthy.
All right. There we go. Anthea Gardner and The Money Shot, cliffcentral.com on a Monday morning. We're going to get through this, man. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know how long, but we're going to make it. And we're going to be here every morning to keep you company between 6 and 8 o'clock. And we'll have all the best people, the smartest, the most attuned, the most sensible people we can find to help us figure out our way forward from here. All right, coming up in a little while, we're going to talk to a guy called Marius Kutsia. He runs a business called IDCO. They do the fingerprint scanners, like we've got here at my house. When you come in through the gates, they check you, you fingerprint scan. He has some important info to tell us about those because people are panicky about, like, oh, I'm going to get the coronavirus, and how do I know that these things are safe? And there are other things that he wants to tell you too, but we'll speak to Marius in a little while, and that'll be useful information that you probably should pay attention to. And a bit later, we'll also speak to Ernest North. Ernest is from a company called Naked Insurance, and I'm insured with them for my car, for example. And what you need to know is that he has a plan for what we can do during this this lockdown, and it might affect your wallet. So some useful information.
In a good way.
In a good way. Some very useful information coming up in a short while. CliffCentral.com, Monday morning. How you doing? CliffCentral.com.